Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into the happy hour. Here we go at 5:01. Chris Ello, Scraby, Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park. Nick Pivetta, our Friar Friday interview. You'll hear that before we send it to Sam Levitt's pregame show. So stick around. Good stuff. Good to get to meet Nick Pivetta. I didn't even know he was a Canadian.
Really?
I did not know he was
they say
a Hab
all the time.
Yeah, well, I didn't. I was out, evidently, making a sandwich when that news was given. I didn't know. But Nick Pivetta, because as he said, not all that comfy on skates. He didn't go into the hockey world, as most young Canadian kids do. And, of course, Padres are pretty glad that it's worked out the way it has. So that'll be coming up. We have also some stuff from Mike Schilt. Number one on Manny Machado, potentially taking a day off, if that's even something they're going to be thinking about. Manny is in the midst of a slump. I mean, it's getting up there now. 9-69. Last 17 games. Hitting .130. Hitting what was the other one? Under 600 OPS. Over 81 games for Manny. Still feel like he's just going to start crushing the ball here at any minute.
I do too.
Padres will be fine. But
there's no reason to think he's not because...
No, but I'm sure he's frustrated.
I mean,
he took it out on the water cooler a little the other night. Rise did have three hits last night and a pretty important RBI, two-out hit that started the scoring. The lineup is the same as it was last night, if you're wondering. Colorado took my advice. They're putting Kyle Farmer in the lineup tonight.
Oh, good.
The only guy who's gotten a hit all year at Petco Park.
Might so as well if he does great tonight, it's your fault.
It's my fault. And Rockies are debuting a new first baseman tonight by the name of Blaine Crim, C-R-I-M. He was a Texas Ranger farmhand. Was with them for 11 at-bats in May. Did not get a single hit. So the Rockies said, hey, he'll fit in well here. Bring him over. And he makes his Rocky debut tonight. All right. So you're up to date.
Well, I saw last week. I saw last week when the Padres were playing the Rockies at Coors Field, they drew 43,000 people.
Yeah. And that's why they stink.
I have no idea. Who?
Because the fans don't care.
I get it.
They go and they support this team, and the owner just says, thank you very much, and pockets the money. You know Woody Page, the guy used to be on the...
Denver Post.
Yeah, Denver Post. He's retired.
Yes, yes.
But you saw him on the television with that,
the show that went away like 17 times?
But,
it's not PTI. It's before PTI.
Right, the one that
I can't
was
remember
before
it.
PTI. I can't remember what it's called.
When they give random...
Yeah, and they just
points.
They get points away, and Woody Page was like the best guy at that. Like he won that all the time, but Woody Page still has a voice in Denver. Pretty, he's been there a long time.
And yeah,
columnist for the Post and the whole thing. And Woody Page just absolutely obliterates the owner of the Rockies over and over and over and over and over again, all the time. But the owner doesn't say anything, doesn't speak to his fans. To explain why they are what they are.
Like, we live in a great city, but we're not going to support a team that's 40 win. That's 40 wins in.
I don't think we would.
Around the horn, that's what it was.
Thank you for whoever. Not only the Rockies lost 107 games this year already, but it's their third straight 100-loss season.
Really? Yeah. Third straight?
Yeah. I mean, that's hard to do in baseball, man. You get all the money you can spend on free agents. Denver's got money. It's anyway.
No, Denver's a nice place. I mean,
fans love them there, obviously, and they keep going to the games. And people who don't go to the games are like, Why do you people still go to the game?
I know. I would
You're
pick
killing
it.
Me.
I would pick it
yeah.
outside. Don't go inside.
Until they win a game. All right. Enough on them. Padres, try to get another one from them tonight. Manny is in there. He's batting third. And he's in an 0 for 16 at least slump. It might be longer than that even. We mentioned the overall slump. Manny's got two home runs in the last month or so. It's just been a rough, rough go.
Let me see. Hold on. I'm going to see what his slump is right now.
It is definitely
4, 12, 8, 12, 16, 0 for 16.
Yeah.
He's 1 for his last 29.
Yeah, all right. Well, he doesn't need us to remind him of
or
all
Or two
of
for
us.
His last 29, sorry.
Yeah. So, but everybody says he looks tired, and you know, that's just a bunch of...
Malarkey?
Everybody's tired at this time of year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're playing 147 games. He hasn't missed one yet. So, I think, personally, I think he should DH a couple times here in the next week just to give a little break. But I wouldn't take him out of the order. But anyway, what did Mike Schilt have to say about... dealing with the Manny
yeah,
thing.
Talking him into it.
Okay.
We're both professionals, and it's more conversational, so I'm not going to talk Manny into anything. I'm going to have adult conversation with a guy that's posted for us all year, and, you know, this team's gone through, like, every team's gone through their trials and tribulations, and when you have guys that are there day in, day out, through those trials and tribulations, those guys are really, really important. And Manny Machado is at the top of that list for this club. There's a lot of guys on that list. And, you know, to your point, I mean, he's come out early the last couple of days. So, you know, if he was tired, he'd be sleeping. You know, he's coming out. And, you know, clearly his time of year, I think he's even said it in the past. And he's right, you know. Second day of spring training for anybody that ever played this game at the highest level. Second day of spring training, you never feel 100% after that anyway. But my ultimate wrap-up point is he's coming out. He's come out the last couple of days to work on his stroke. He's coming out and getting ground balls. May not get them today. But, you know, he's a big part of how we compete. And, you know, he goes through the ebbs and flows of it. And, you know, we'll continue to have conversations about what his work looks like and what his availability on the field looks like. And, those are not constant conversations, but they're consistent, and we landed a place that we think that he thinks is best for the Padres.
That was funny. If he was tired, he'd be sleeping.
He'd be sleeping.
Good line
that
by Mike Schilt. Okay, a couple of quick things. Manny is officially I checked while we were doing listening to that. 0 for 17. He's 0 for 16 in the last four games. He also made an out. His last at bat of that previous game. But his last home run was in Colorado, and it came off of Tanner Gordon, who's pitching tonight. So maybe that's a good sign to get Manny going tonight.
I think it would be a very good sign.
I'd love to see him, you know, I'll take a line drive to right center, and I'm sure he would too at this point.
His line drives just look better than other line drives.
They are cool when he... when he hits one and it's that smooth swing, you're like, how does he ever miss the ball?
Yeah.
But then he just starts, like lately, he's just missing it like every time. You're like, ah! All right, Xander Bogaerts. I know. Well, you want him to get going. Xander Bogaerts is getting going and getting closer, it seems like. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much longer. Maybe within the next week we could have Xander back. That's my timeline. Here's Mike Schilt's.
New in the sense that positive and, you know, I saw him. I didn't go to the cage. I don't go in there. But he played a nice catch. Saw him do that. Saw him move around. I know he did some defensive work. I didn't see that. Reports were favorable. First of all, he was able to have a good day from yesterday to build on today. So that's a positive when you talk about positives. And then he was in the cage hitting and doing some bunting and tracking and so he seems to be good spirits, and like I said, today was we were able to progress from yesterday, so that's clear positive. Still,
he's got nice bones.
He does.
Mike Schilt is aware of that.
I hope that Mike Schilt is aware of that.
It's what he said last week or a week or two ago when he got hurt.
I think I should go and talk to Xander about his nice bones next.
Doesn't
time.
Anybody find this so ironic though?
What?
That in May and June that everyone wanted him out of here, and now we cannot wait for him to come back.
I don't find it ironic. I just find it the...
Does anybody write in the chat, for instance, like we were talking about Xander right now, does anybody go, God, I hope he stays hurt the rest of the year?
No.
right? But in May and June, they would have said that.
No, their new fixation is yes, Luis Arraez. And again, it's all about finding the best lineup of the day.
I saw Arraez commenting on the fact that he notices, and he's hearing some of that
really
frustration from the fans.
What is he saying about it?
He doesn't love it, but he also doesn't love how he's hitting this year, and he wants to hit better, and he's going to keep working until he does. Like, that's as good attitude as he can have.
I like Luis Arraez.
As good attitude as he can have.
I don't like him swinging at those pitches at his head.
The flies to left field are starting to get under my skin.
Oh, you're joining the dark side.
No, I was ultimately thrilled last night that he was 3-for-4 with an RBI.
Me too.
Because that'll keep everybody off my case for at least one night.
Our boss Adam sent us a text last night of, it was the gif of Vince McMahon walking in and he's got his like chest puffed out. And it was when Robert Suarez closes and Arraez has a 3-hit game. This is Chris. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Chris should walk with his chest puffed out.
I think Adam just continues to troll me.
He's not trolling you.
Over and over again.
He's not trolling you.
Somehow. I'm the only person on the planet who thinks Suarez should be the closer of this team.
That's not true.
Okay, then stop saying I'm so happy about it. He's not closing for me. He's closing for everyone out there.
Mike Schilt thinks he should be the closer, too.
Maybe Nick Pivetta should close. We will not talk to him about that, but everything else you can think of when we come back on our Friar Friday interview, you definitely want to stick around for it.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 5-19. Sam Levitt's got all the Padre news for you. David Morgan is on the injured list. That was the one news item of the day. J.P. Sears was officially called up in his place to make the start. Tonight, pregame, game, and it's all coming up. A couple of very quick notes before our Friar Friday interview with Nick Pivetta. Washington Commanders are still awaiting the final word on the injury suffered by Austin Ekeler last night. If you saw it, he ran out in the flat. He fell down. They think he has a torn Achilles, but that is not 100% official yet. Hopefully, for his sake, it's not. The other one was Jaden Reed of the Packers, who caught a touchdown, only to have the play called back due to penalty, and then only to separate his shoulder or whatever it was when he hit the ground.
He broke his collarbone.
I'm sorry, broke his collarbone. Yeah,
it's actually happening on the replay on TV right now.
Okay, yeah. So he's out for most of the season. They don't have an official timeline, but that's the Packers look really good to me, as we've talked about already. But Reed is a weapon that they can use, and they won't have him for quite a while, if at all. All right. Padres have been using a weapon named Nick Pivetta all year, and we had our first chance to chat with him on this program, which Tony and I did a little earlier today. Joining us from Petco Park on our Friar Friday interview, Cy Young Award candidate Nick Pivetta is on the program today, and we are really happy to have you on, Nick. First of all, welcome, and secondly, I'm not just saying Cy Young candidate to get on your good side. I'm saying it because I think it deserves to be mentioned, and I wonder how that sounds to you.
Obviously, it's a great honor to be put in those terms, but, you know, I think my focus is just, like, winning for the team and winning for the organization, and I think when you kind of have those linear focuses and you're kind of just going about your business and it's team-oriented, I think good things happen to everybody, you know? I was able to put the right work in the off season and coming into here, San Diego Padres, and you know things have turned out pretty good so far.
Nick, let's talk about the off season and how free agency went for you. You ended up signing with the Padres really, really late, and I'm sure that's not ideal, but nonetheless, you've come out and I mean, just go, what went into that free agency for you as it got towards the end there and you were finally able to sign with a team?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was definitely an interesting process for me. I mean, I had the qualifying offer attached to me, so I think there's a lot of unknowns going into that process. But, you know, I just stayed patient, stayed focused. I worked out at Cressy's Performance Center in Jupiter, Florida, so, you know, I'm around baseball players all the time. And, you know, I think just working out with other guys and continuing to work on baseball and focus on that, knowing that I'm going to, you know, land somewhere. And, you know, gratefully and awesomely, like, you know, I landed with such a great organization, great group of guys at San Diego Padres. And, you know, I think I just stayed patient, just tried to stay sane-minded and knew that something would come my way. And, you know, luckily I landed in, you know, a great place, you know, led by AJ with Schilt and then Ruben, you know, and then the plethora of guys here that, you know, lead this team to so many wins, you know. And then, you know, also it's great to be part of a winning organization as well. It's a great gift as well. So the success that they had, it just, you know, I was very, very grateful for the opportunity.
Nick Pivetta is with us. He came right on the scene for the Padres here. I mean, he introduced himself to us with seven innings of one-hit ball in his first outing and haven't really looked back since. I think it's too simple to ask you if you felt like you had something to prove this year as a free agent, but I wonder if, you know, having to wait to be able to sign gave you just a little extra, you know, to say, hey, look, you know, there's everybody could have had me and nobody did until the Padres came around. Or have you just let all that go?
Yeah, I don't really look at it that way. You know, I think there's a lot of great organizations out there and, you know, so would it so be that, you know, they passed up on me. That's okay. I think I firmly believe that I landed in the great in the right place for the right reasons. And, you know, I'm just happy to be here more in a sense. And it's not to prove anybody wrong or do anything else. It's more just my passion and wanting to be a great pitcher and wanting to be the best. And I want to be the best and compete with great athletes and go about it that way. And, you know, I just have that pride and drive and I really want to win too. So I think all those things are just, you know, who I am, but it's mostly out of just winning for my teammates, for the organization. And then I want to play with the best players there are.
You've segued me now twice to the next question by your answer, and you mentioned your passion. I've said it on multiple occasions that you take me back when I'm watching you pitch. You take me back to like my 15, 16 year old self watching Kevin Brown on the mound and his kind of intensity. Same number and everything, and that's part of why it hits my mind like that. Where has that intensity come from? Has that always been Nick Pivetta?
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, that's who I've been, but you know, you always want to emulate those great pitchers, whoever they are. We can go through the names and lists of all the great players. We don't have to right now, but like, I think you see that drive in them and you want to be as good as them or you want to be better than them. It's nothing out of ego or anything else. It's just like, why am I playing this game? Well, I just want to play this game to be a great baseball player and contribute too, to a team aspect. And win a World Series championship. I think those are the main goals. And I firmly believe if you just surround yourself and get yourself in winning situations, usually good things happen in the end. And, you know, success leads to that as well.
Nick, Tony touched on this. I mean, I think you represent a lot of us out on that mound. Just us normal guys who watch you pitch, and because we want you to get the out, and we feel like you want to get the out, and you're so passionate.
Yeah.
And we see you talking a little. What do you say? What are you saying? Can you give us
when I talk to myself on the mound?
Yeah. Is it clean enough for?
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's fine. It's mostly just like self reinforcement and positive attitude. It's always like just calming the moment too. I feel like there's numerous resets in an outing, and it's always finding that good reset to get into that kind of, you know, that subconscious mode, that flow state, as you say or will, when things are just kind of coming easy. And it's just kind of that kind of dance and battle and, you know, fun thing to find. But, you know, just self-talk, positive self-talk, and, like, just trying to keep myself very present in the moment of what's going on and making sure that I'm very present. I think being present is very important for me this year.
Nick Pivetta joins us, Padres starter, possible Cy Young candidate. And, Nick, let me ask you, because, you know, as you've gone through your career, you've been regarded as a guy that the stuff doesn't match the numbers. This year, you're having a career year. What for you has come together in order for you to have the success that you're having on the field in this particular season?
Yeah, I think it's like it's years of kind of experience, kind of getting me, you know, obviously started in Philly and then kind of finding some building blocks in Boston, and then, you know, trying to figure out what the correct way to build the building is now. I think in that type of term, it's what is the flat, what is the foundation of it? For me, what I think about there is I think limiting my walks as much as I possibly can is kind of like my safeguard. It's how many guys can I not walk? Okay, how do I not walk guys? How many times can I get ahead of guys? Okay, how many times, what pitches can I get ahead of guys? And how many times can I get ahead of guys through an order? So if you just like really filter through the sand, it's very specific things that lead up to bigger things. And I think it's, as we know, like being in the big leagues for, you know, the years that I have been and very grateful for that, I've gotten a sense to kind of learn from it too and try to figure it out. And I've been given time in this game, which I'm very grateful for, to continue to learn those things and progress. And I think, you know, I've taken some really good steps forward. And I think, you know, obviously I can be much better than even I was this year. And, you know, you kind of just try to see how that goes moving into next year as well.
Nick, we appreciate the time so much. I want to try to sneak one more in. I know you have a lot
to
get done.
Good.
Victoria, no, you're from Victoria, British Columbia, Canada, which is a place I've actually had a chance to go. And I was there with a hockey team. And, of course, Canada, it's hockey. So how did you grow up and get into baseball? Did you have to fight off the hockey coaches at all, or did you ever skate?
No, if I'm being blunt and honest, I wasn't the most athletic when I was younger, not the swiftest on skates, and I really didn't want to wake up at 6 a.m. for practice. So,
okay.
I really enjoyed soccer, and I started to play soccer, and then I was playing baseball from a young age, just like Little League and having fun and doing that. And I just progressed from there, and I think when it started to get serious was when I was 16 years old. I met Greg Hamilton at a tournament in Okanagan, British Columbia, I believe, and he asked me to come be a part of the junior national team, and I think that's when things started to progress as a baseball player. I was about 16, 17, doing a lot of trips to the junior national team, going down to the Dominican Republic,
Then
going to Cuba, doing the World Junior Baseball Classic, and I think that just kind of set me on my road of, okay, this is baseball and this is what I want to do, and I'm okay at it. I'm pretty good at it. I wasn't the greatest, but, you know, I had a little bit of a drive and some talent, and I just tried to figure it out step by step.
Nick, last one for me.
Yeah.
You get an opportunity to work with Ruben Niebla. He's regarded as one of the best. What is it for you that makes him a good pitching coach?
That's a really good question. I don't think there's really one thing. I think there's, you know, number of things, but I think it's the way that he communicates to the players, the freeness that we have as players to kind of be ourselves and be creative and have fun. But then when we get into game time, it's what pitches can we throw? How are we going to execute our pitches? What homework are we going to do? So he keeps you in line, but then also when you get into a bullpen setting, it's very creative. It's very fun. And, you know, there's just that willingness to kind of tinker with certain things, and then also the knowledge to just kind of keep things where they need to be at times as well. So I think it's just his communication overall is really good, but his just baseball knowledge, the amount that he cares about the individuals, you know, the amount that he's learned from all of his past experiences and the way he's been able to communicate that to players is very, very sound.
Nick, we're having such a great interview here. I got to ask about the nose.
You're fine. I'm not in a rush at all.
All right, good. Well, I know that we kind of talk. The Padre, you know, folks that have tried to keep us at a certain time, and we try to, you know, go along with that.
Yeah, you're good.
But
don't worry about that.
The nose to toes curveball. I love this. We love watching it. I'm sure you enjoy throwing it. I know they don't like trying to hit it. Where do you go with some credit for that? Was it an early coach? Just something you're able to get the spin rate or what?
Yeah, so when I was when I first made it to the big leagues, my pitching coach, Bob McClure, was there. And Aaron Nola had the same grip. And Aaron Nola just threw his curveball. And he said, why don't you throw this? And I said, okay. So I just started to throw it. It worked with my arm angle. It wasn't really good. earlier on, but then as I continued to throw into 2018, it kind of progressed more and more. And I think through 2019 and 2020 kind of tilted as I did. But as I continued to move and figure out, you know, as the Rapsodos came along and kind of figure out the numbers of it, how it works, why it works, the information behind tunneling and all of that, it kind of gives you more of a creative and like a third person mm-hmm. view at it. So then I was able to kind of, you know, mess with it, do certain things with it, but then perfect it. And then after that, it's all about throwing strikes with it. So I have really good command with it, probably the best I've had in my career this year. So that's why it's kind of been a staple a little bit more for me now. And then obviously with the sweeper, it's taken a lot of, it's also helped that pitch get better as well.
Nick, really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, no problem.
Appreciate
you guys having me on.
All right,
pleasure.
Sir. Always best of luck the rest baseball. Of the way. Can't wait to see you back on the hill.
Yeah, I'll see you guys soon. Okay, take care.
All right, there he is.
What a lovely man.
A lovely man.
You know,
Mr. Pivetta.
I haven't heard him talk much this year.
I haven't either.
And that was extremely refreshing.
He's a little different personality than the one you see on the hill.
Yeah. Most are.
Right? Doesn't look like, you know, when Kevin Brown's about to tear your head off. but when you talk to him, good guy.
Yeah.
And having just a great year. We've said it how many times? Even if I know there's fans out there not, you know, into A.J. Preller, where would this team be without those two signings he made? Pivetta and Sheets.
Would they make the playoffs without Pivetta on this team?
Pivetta and Sheets? No. Yeah. I don't think so.
They've been too big.
Too many injuries around all of that. They needed those two guys, and those two guys have been steady the whole time. All right. Scrape, we head into the weekend. We haven't talked a lot of college football. The Aztecs are idle. Maybe that's why. I don't think there's really a big marquee game necessarily.
We're into the lame games season, you know, the ones where Alabama's playing Alabama, A&M.
Yeah, Ohio State's playing Ohio.
Oof.
Yeah, there's some weird ones. NFL, I think the Chiefs and the Eagles is probably the game that everyone else is watching. You'll be seeing if Mac Jones can beat the Saints. I'll be seeing if the Dolphins can force at least one punt from the Patriots. And we'll all keep an eye on whether the Padres can keep shutting out the Rockies. And then we'll be back on Monday and we'll start rolling again.
We will.
So everybody have a good weekend. Sam Levitt, Padre pregame show, standing by. And it's next for Scraby, Tony, Chris. Enjoy the rest of your Friday and weekend ahead.
Goodbye.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.